بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا ووقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا كلكم راء وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته فالأمير راء والرجل راء على أهل بيته والمرأة راعية على أهل بيتها وولده ألا فكلكم راء وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Let us all recite Durood Sharif اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders and dear brothers I have recited a very famous ayat of the Holy Quran And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very basic instruction. A very basic order and command has been directed to us in this ayat of the Quran. Sometimes we tend to take those things that are the very basics and fundamental for granted, but those are the most important of all things. Regarding this ayat of the Holy Quran, which I will briefly translate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. It is a very basic instruction, a very basic order and command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I mentioned, that this is the ultimate, one of the very objectives and purposes of our life on earth is that we and our families can attain salvation from the hellfire. We can be saved from chastisement and punishment in the hereafter. This is one of the very objectives and purposes of our life on earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spelled it out very loud and clear in this particular ayat of the Holy Quran. Our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Masihullah of Jalalabad rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say so beautifully that if the whole ummah had to make amal and practice only on one ayat, then nobody would become a nari. Nobody would go into the fire of hell. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayat, save yourselves from the fire of hell. If everyone makes amal on this ayat and makes the effort to save himself or herself from the fire of hell, then who will go to the fire of hell? But additionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added an extra measure of safety and said, save yourselves and save your families as well from the fire of hell. So, if every ummati practiced on this ayat, then nobody will go to the fire of hell and everyone will attain salvation in the hereafter. But that is provided that we practice on this ayat, provided that we take these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heart and we implement it and we put it into action and we put it into motion, then we will realize the benefit of this ayat of the Holy Quran. Another great personality of this ummah, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali has stated that one should actually take this ayat and make a frame out of this ayat and put these frames in our homes, and put them in our madrasas, and put them in our maktabs, and put them in our masajid, and put it in our institutions and organizations, so that these ayats can stare us in the face, and every time we look at it, we are reminded, and this is what is needed in this day and age, a constant reminder, sometimes a spoken reminder, sometimes a written reminder, sometimes a silent reminder. A person looks at that ayat, he ponders for even a few seconds, that will, inshallahul aziz, then give the person the impetus to practice and to make amal upon this wonderful ayat of the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great lesson and this important advice that beware and be careful. There will be consequences of whatever you do in the life of this world. And if you do not lead your life correctly, then the consequence is going to be very dreadful in the hereafter. And that consequence is the fire of hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat of the Quran addresses the mu'mineen, the believers. This is not an address to the disbelievers. The disbelievers already by virtue of not accepting the correct aqidah and belief. And obviously when the aqidah and belief is not correct, then where will the amal and action be correct and where will the action be accepted? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the actions of somebody whose beliefs are corrupt, whose beliefs are not sound, whose beliefs are such that it takes him out of the fold and pale of Islam. The person can do whatever deeds after that, and he may think that he's doing some very good deeds, but in actual fact, those deeds will not count for anything. Example has been given that Iman is like the one, that is belief in one Allah, Tawheed is that one. And the A'mal are like the zeros. So you take the one of Tawheed, of Iman, and then you put the zeros of A'mal behind it, and it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million, 10 million, 100 million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, it will multiply and multiply and multiply so long as that one is there, that one of Tawheed, that one of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correct aqidah and belief is there, add the zeros of amal and the value will just grow and grow and grow and grow. But on the contrary, if the belief and aqidah is not correct, then there is no one. That one is missing. Now you take the amal, the zeros, and put zero after zero after zero. We can put thousands of zeros. Without that one, those zeros will remain zero. You can put millions of zeros will still equal zero. It will have no value whatsoever. But that zero that is followed by the zero that follows that one, that is the zero that assumes value. And the zero that is not preceded by that one, that zero has no zero, no value, and it will be zero, and it will continue to be zero. So from this, my dear friends, we can see how important it is, the correction of aqidah and belief, to have the proper aqidah, to have the proper beliefs, those beliefs that will keep us within the fold of Islam, not the beliefs that could expel a person out of the fold of Islam. Today there may be a lot of people laboring under the misconception that we have Iman, we have Islam, but they have introduced some element of corruption in their aqidah and belief that nullifies their aqidah and belief. And they pass their lives in such a manner, thinking that they are believers, whereas in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their Iman is not valid, their Iman is not mu'tabar, their Iman is not counted. What a tragic situation that will be, that a person will meet his Creator on the day of Qiyamah, then he will realize that my Iman was not even correct, my Iman was not in place. So all the a'mal that he had done thereafter, none of that will count. May Allah save us from such a plight. Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali also used to mention that we will find that there are many people who would have been expelled from the fold of Islam because of some corrupt belief or aqidah that they would have adopted or introduced into their hearts and into their belief system, that will expel them from the very fold of Islam. But they would not realize it, they would not even understand it, and they would have become apostate and left the fold of Islam. And yet you will find those people frequenting the masjid too, and they would be there with the Muslims too, and outwardly it would appear they are Muslim too, but it will be at the end of their life that realization will come, and people will realize that this person has actually left the fold of Islam. So he mentions that the irtidad and the apostasy of this day and age is different from the past. In the past, a person left the fold of Islam, he went and joined some other religion. If Allah forbid, he went and became a Christian, or he went and became a Jew, or he followed some other ism or religion, then he would leave the community and he would go away, and it would be known clearly to one and all that so and so person has left the fold of Islam, or so and so woman has left the fold of Islam because she chose to marry somebody out of the fold of Islam and adopted the religion and way of those particular people. Allah save all our children, all of us, our children, our progeny till the day of Qiyamah, from going astray and from losing our iman. So this is the danger that we face in this day and age. So coming back to this ayat of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. That these believers are not being addressed here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers that beware and be careful. Don't be complacent thinking that, okay, I'm a Muslim, so guaranteed I got Jannah. I got my ticket and my passport and my visa for Jannah by virtue of being a Muslim. There's no guarantee. We have to work our way into Jannah, and we have to steer away from Jahannam. That is the mission on earth. That is the challenge that we face on earth here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O believers, by right a believer is supposed to be such a person that already he has brought iman, he has brought faith, he has accepted a pledge of loyalty and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of the declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Already he has set foot in the direction of Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning that be careful, don't get lost along the way, and don't find yourself in the wrong place. Go in the straight path, straight direction, work your way and journey yourself towards paradise and Jannah, and don't get distracted and get lost along the way going towards fire of hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us here, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Start with yourself. Worry about your own najat. Worry about your own salvation. Worry about your own savior. Save yourself first from the fire of hell. Today we are living in a world where most of the time we are worried about the next person. Yeah, he's like this, he's like that, she's like this, she's like that. We are concerned about others and what they're doing wrong and why they're doing this and why they're not doing that and so on. And we are so quick to point fingers at other people, forgetting that every time we are pointing a finger at someone, three fingers are pointing back at us. Three fingers are pointing back at us. One finger is pointing there, but three are pointing back at us. First, worry about oneself. Worry about one's own salvation. Worry about one's own akhirah. Secure one's own akhirah. In our outlook of looking at other people and trying to find fault in other people and wanting to criticize other people and condemn other people and so on, we forget ourselves in the process, then there won't be a greater loser on the day of Qiyamah than that person that was worried about everybody else, but he forgot himself. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You are worried about others. You want to order and instruct others, do this and don't do that and so on. But وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, you forget yourself, you forget that you are the first addressee. You should be concerned about your own salvation. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. You are reciting the Qur'an. The Qur'anic verses are in front of you. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you ponder, don't you reflect? Aren't you using your intelligence and thinking for yourself that, what about myself? Am I on the right track? Am I on the right path? Am I doing the right things? Am I on the path of salvation? Or have I left the path of salvation? So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with us. Start with yourself. Do an introspection. Do a self-evaluation. Do a self-analysis. Look into yourself. Introspect. Reflect. Ponder. Fakir. Reflect and ponder about yourself, that where am I? Where is my situation? Where is my position? Am I on that path that is going to take me to my ultimate destination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to reach? Or am I doing something that Allah forbid? I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm off the track now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in this ayat. That is why I repeat again, Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, may Allah fill his qabr with nur. What a great alim of this ummah. He said, put it on the walls everywhere. Let it be a stark reminder to one and all that ponder and reflect first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, start with yourself. Qu anfusakum. Save yourself. Wa ahlikum nara. Second step Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now focus on your own family. Start, like they say, charity begins at home. Start with your own kind. Start with your own children. Start with your own family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. And then you can extend it, the circle, to other members of the family, siblings, and nephews and nieces and other family members, cousins and so on. That circle can go bigger. All can be encompassed in the word of ahlikum. Ahlikum has got a broad sense. It can encompass various members and relatives. But of course, primarily it refers to one's nearest of kith and kin. And that is one's own children, one's wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that be concerned about their salvation. Be concerned about their najat. Don't worry so much about everybody else for the moment. For now, concentrate on yourself, concentrate on your children. Are they on the track? Are they on the path or not? That constant worry should be there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that save them and save yourselves from what? Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. From a fire. A very dreadful fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives detailed descriptions of this fire. In this ayat and many other verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns repeatedly about this fire of hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these reminders again and again that be careful, beware. This could be the outcome. Now, we ask a question here that in the worldly life, in our normal day-to-day life, if there is a heater now, especially in this cold season, and as the cold fronts are hitting us in winter, and the temperatures are plummeting, and people are beginning to feel cold, so now we put the heater on. Now that heater is there. Now, when that heater is on, and there's little children playing in the house, and they don't realize the danger of that heater, or that fire in the fireplace, and they are little children and they want to go and hold that fire, will any parent sit back and relax and see the children going there until they actually plunge themselves into the fire and get burnt? Obviously, we know it's a rhetorical question. The answer is very obvious, that no parent is going to sit back and watch the children go into a danger zone and get burnt and possibly lose their life. Every parent is already concerned from before that there's a fire here. I must be alert at all times. The children don't go anywhere near. They don't get burnt. So this is a basic human instinct. A human instinct that everyone knows. Not even, you don't even have to be very bright or very intelligent or intellectual to understand this basic instinct. Neither do you have to be a Muslim to understand this basic. This is a human instinct. That where there is a fire, everybody knows that we have to be careful and we have to be careful about our children and so on, that they don't go and get burnt in that fire. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then still saying on top of that save yourself and your children from a fire? Because the human instinct is that you will save yourself. You won't want to get burnt, nor will you want your children to get burnt. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this is because that fire is not visible to us. It is invisible. It is behind the curtain of ghaib. So we cannot see that fire at this moment in time. And we could become forgetful. We could become heedless regarding this. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this order and instruction that be careful, don't forget. Don't become forgetful about what is behind that curtain. Behind that curtain there is that fire. So save yourselves and your children. Thereafter, now the method of saving oneself. Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu wajhahu, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the son-in-law of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that, allimu ahlikumul khair. O people, you're going to save yourself and your children. How? Teach them the things that are beneficial, teach them the things that are necessary, teach them the correct aqidah, teach them the basics of your ibadat, teach them about the correct muamalat, correct muashara, correct akhlaq, teach them all these fundamentals and basics, and educate them about the things that are the opposites of these, the things that will be detrimental to the akhirah. Teach them about the wrong beliefs. Teach them about correct aqidah, and also side by side we have to teach them what are the wrong aqidah, the wrong beliefs. Today, for example, we find that in many educational institutions, the theory of evolution is being taught. Darwinism, as it is called, this is something that is being taught in many educational institutions. It is very much part of the curriculum. This is part of the global initiative of introducing irreligiousness, godlessness, and atheism, and agnosticism, and doubt in one's belief system, so that everyone can become on one way and one platform of rejecting the belief of a creator, having no concept of accountability of the hereafter, etc. These theories have been designed by the shaitan himself and all the agents of shaitan, so that the whole of mankind can go astray and all can go and join shaitan in fire of hell. These are things that have been taught to our children in the schools. Now, if we are going to be complacent about these aspects of aqidah and belief, and parents pay no attention to these things, and no counter arguments and no correction of these wrong notions are being introduced to our children, Allah forbid, they must not grow up with this belief and conviction that this theory is correct and there's nothing wrong with this theory. This is the very thing that I mentioned earlier on, that Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali feared very much for this ummah, that certain ideologies and beliefs will be adopted. Person won't even realize that I've adopted such type of a belief and ideology, and Allah forbid that he could lead his life in disbelief and kufr. So I take this opportunity to appeal to all parents and even to our maktabs and to our institutions and organizations, that be cognizant of this great danger our children face as far as the aqidah aspect is concerned. And if in our makatib and in our madaris, it could be incorporated in the curriculum, and these wrong beliefs that come in, the proper, correct conception be presented to our children, and the wrong beliefs be highlighted to them, so that at least there is some kind of consciousness, some realization that this is not in keeping with Islam. We cannot assume that our children will automatically know what is right from wrong if we do not make a concerted effort to correct that and to rectify it. We cannot make an assumption that automatically they will know what is right from wrong, especially in the type of environment we are living in. Challenging times, difficult times, times in which to make the distinction between right and wrong has become so difficult. So at a time like this, even more emphasis has to be laid on an ayat of this nature, and the guidelines and teachings that have been highlighted in the explanation of this ayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the straight path, make us to live and die on the straight path, and to be raised up on the day of Qiyamah with the people of truth, with the Anbiya, with the Awliya, with the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the iman of our progeny to come right till the day of Qiyamah. My dear friends, in conclusion, I also want to say that the time of Hajj is now approaching. Many are already beginning to depart for Hajj. So we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, grant them all Hajj maqbool, mabroor. And also, we should try to give the departing Haji the gift of a dua that has been taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. زَوَّدَكَ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى وَوَجَّهَكَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَكَفَاكَ الْهَمْ. Beautiful dua to give the departing Haji. May Allah give you the provisions of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct you towards all good actions. And may Allah protect you from all worries and sorrows on this journey. Beautiful dua to give to the Hajis. Give the Hajis lot of support, encouragement. Offer them whatever assistance is possible. Inshallah, they will remember us there in those Mubarak places. And their duas, inshallah, will be accepted for us there. And we remember them in our duas here. So there will be duas flowing from both sides, from the Hujjaj for the people around the world, and from the people around the world for the Hujjaj. And in this way, inshallah, a lot of good duas will be earned and reaped by the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.